Welcome to Photodump.
This is a podcast by and for working photographers.
With
Ren
and Jen.
How's your month been?
It's been a boring 2 weeks. My March was crazy, but a lot of fun. I had basically two shoots that lasted over 15 days, or three shoots that lasted over 15 days pretty consecutively during the week. But it was a lot of fun. That was the first time I've had so many shoots back to back.
I know you were really worried about it. How did it work out?
Yeah, my brain was dead at the end of the 15th day. And of course, that was like our lifestyle day and probably could have used to be on a little bit more. But it was a lot of fun. It was nice to just be shooting all the time. And it worked out really well because the first week I ended up finding a studio in Long Beach. So that was really nice because I didn't have to commute as far because commuting to LA is just time suck. And then now I have a little editorial this week.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to you.
I think it's going to be fun though, right?
I mean, it'll be fun because it's a fun crew. Basically everyone you worked with last week, but nice. Instead of you, they get me. And then next week I have another shoot, a big lifestyle shoot. My team finally got confirmed. I mean, there's just been a lot of stuff on this that has been moving and still moving, and some of it seems just really unclear. And
we still have a week to figure it out, right?
Yeah, I'm just trusting that it'll all fall into place. But it's not that I don't feel unclear. I just feel like they keep changing their minds. I think they are unclear. That's a problem. I think they just don't know what they want. I feel like I initially proposed like this idea and they were like, we don't want to do it that way. And then we literally talked about it every day for 3 weeks. And then the fourth week, they're like, let's do it this way, like as if it was their idea. And I'm like, that is what I told you to do at the very beginning. But I will just ignore this and just continue on.
I know. At least they're using your idea and still having you on the job and not using your idea and having someone else.
Right. Yeah. I'm excited about that one. It's going to be in Malibu. The house is really beautiful, but I have a fun crew and it's going to be a long day. But I think it'll be really fun.
It's just one day.
Just one day, exactly.
One hard day.
It's just one long 12-hour day.
Gotta love those. Plus the commute to Malibu.
Yeah. Plus the commute to Malibu. So, but what about you? What do you got going on?
I just finished that cookbook, which was so much fun. I feel like the past month leading up to it has just been, I had like two big shoots that required so much pre-production. And then as soon as those shoots wrapped, we just went into treatment mode for a couple jobs. By a couple, I mean four, and I didn't get any of them. Mm-hmm. It's just been so much taxing brain work of figuring out approaches and figuring out how to work with unrealistic budgets and deciding when to push back and be firm and deciding when to try to make it work. It's just been so much on top of getting ready for this cookbook. And then, which was the first week, was a 6-day shoot. So it's, you know, like a 60-hour week. And then on top of that, we were bidding on like a really intense, very demanding treatment that had so much that they needed to know. Like we literally got two separate emails with questions that filled, it was like three full like page scrolls.
Oh my
gosh. It was so many questions. The first pass took me like 3 hours after a shoot day to work through their first round of questions. Wow. And then they sent a follow-up the next day.
What kind of questions were they asking?
I mean, honestly, some of them were basic technical questions, but I still had to explain something really technical with a mindset of like someone that doesn't understand it. So that's always hard for me because I get it in my mind. So it's just like putting it down on paper it's hard. That's something I really have to improve on, is figuring out how to simply convey something complicated. But it was also just a lot of, they kept changing their creative and they had a specific budget going into it. And then it just started ballooning into something bigger. And then I think they were panicking because the client went with the more expensive creative, but they didn't think they were going to go with that. And so it was just a lot to do after a shoot day, and then also like getting text messages, you know, in the middle of the shoot day being like, what about this? What about that? Like, yeah, yeah. And so yeah. It was just really hard for me to focus. It was just an exhausting week.
No, yeah, yeah. I totally get what you mean. Yeah, the first week on my marathon, I was doing treatments, and yeah, this client just wanted to be on the call the whole time. And I'm like, this is a very tight, I know this is like an editorial, but it's actually harder, I feel like, on editorial or like cookbook jobs to like break away because you have so much to shoot. It's like a very strict, you know, trying to get everything in. The team is not like super massive, and it's just like, yeah. So I totally know what you mean. That is very exhausting.
Yeah. So I kind of would love to figure out a way to, I don't know if it's possible to avoid those times where you're on set, and it's like, it's fine if it's one day, right? But if it's like for a week or like more than a week and you don't have time to recover, then that's where it starts to like add up. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I've been like racking my brain being like, how do I do this differently next time so that I don't have, I had like a mini breakdown twice.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in those such scenarios, it's like hiring help to like write or design. I mean, I think part of it is like letting go.
Uh-huh. You know, and just like doing what you can with the time that you have.
Yeah. It's like maybe Robin or agent will kind of relay that, like, you know, they're on set and they've been doing what they can. I don't know. It's like people have to realize that we're also working different jobs.
Right.
It's like unfortunate timing.
Yeah. I know you said you have worked with a copywriter before, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does that process work? Because you still have to write everything out, right?
No. So when I worked with the copywriter, we kind of went through basically all of the key points that I had in my treatment. You know, we have look and feel or lighting, and I essentially just told her what I wanted to say.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they write it. And then, you know, they sent a pass, and then I, you know, can obviously tweak and like add your own. It's weird because there's a lot of points where I'm like, I wouldn't talk like this or I wouldn't say it like this. But also at the end of the day,
it's like you gotta let go, like you said.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like treatments are really just saying what they want to hear, I think, in a lot of times.
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's like a mix of saying what they want to hear. And also if it's something that you have like a specific approach that you want to do, I think that's the part that I have the hardest time with, is visually writing something that's in my head.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like a lot of the treatments that I've done lately, I guess the last one I just did, it wasn't so, they didn't really have a strong vision of what they wanted. So then I suggested those things, but we basically went back and forth and then revised a treatment to whatever they wanted it to say. I feel like for me, that first time I did it too was because I don't know if I was on another job or not, or it was just like one of my first bigger treatments, essentially just having more of like a baseline copy kind of thing that I can pull from too was part of it.
Well, I feel like I just have been counting down the days until I was done bidding on these jobs and was done also simultaneously shooting a cookbook. And I'm like, I know I have 2 weeks off and then I have some holds. And I was just like, I cannot wait for these 2 weeks off. It's going to be so great. But now that I don't have anything actually booked and on the calendar, like I know I have holds, but there's like a 60% chance that they're going to go away.
Yeah.
Those chances are not high. And so now I feel like really insecure about the next month or so, even though I know that I'm leading up to it. I was like, I'm fine. If, you know, if there's a slow month, like it's okay. I just worked my ass off for the, you know, the first quarter of the year. Like it's fine. And I was like, I'm going to take a trip. And now that I didn't get these jobs that we were bidding on, I feel like I don't deserve the trip. But then if I got the jobs, I wouldn't have time to take the trip.
Yeah, I know. That's also partially why I was like, let's go to the desert.
Yeah.
Let's just go one night, you know, like, yeah, I want to plan a bigger trip. But I think because I haven't been, I mean, I was very busy in March, but it was all editorial. So it's not like I'm rolling in the dough or anything like that. So I just feel a little nervous. And I know the moment that I book a 1 week trip, it's going to be the week that somebody wants me. And
Well, I think we're doing great.
We are doing great.
I loved your idea of talking about how we got to where We are. Not that we're anywhere special.
No, I think someone asked us this, and this is how we got into this topic and what our backgrounds are and how we ended up where we are now.
Yeah. And I actually, for anyone who hasn't been following along with a photo editor, he's been posting incredible income breakdowns, but he recently posted a like snippet that a photographer said in her long breakdown on feeling adequate or good enough. Did you read that one?
Yes, I shared it on Photo Dump, actually.
It was so good. And I feel like that was kind of an inspirational text to read in thinking about this episode, because I do feel like we get really down on ourselves when we're losing or not working. And if you think back to where we started from, we're doing pretty well, I think.
I agree.
We're making a living making images. I never thought that I would actually make a living that I used to look at other people who had regular salary jobs. I'm like, I'm never going to have that.
Do you want to read the quote?
Sure.
For those who have not seen it. This is on a photo editor, and his Instagram is a photo editor. If you want to follow, you should follow, because there's so many insightful things that he shares on there.
So many.
Especially this income.
It's been wild to see all the differences in different regions of the United States and the world and different focuses. It's really awesome. Okay, so this is from a female interior and architectural photographer in her 50s with 30 years of experience. So she says, on feeling adequate or good enough, I'm finding that this is a universal feeling that all creatives have, no matter the genre or level of success. Second guessing what we are doing is the norm. Feeling like a fake, normal. Feeling not good enough or that others are succeeding more than we are, normal. We have to almost put our hypothetical blinders on and stay focused on our goals, on our opportunities, on our strengths, on our successes, and learn to be happy with where we are at. There is always room for growth, but sometimes it helps to take a look back through the archives and see where we've come from and the progress we've already made. I love that.
Yeah. On that note, I think it's interesting to know what we both went to school for.
What did you think you were going to do, and how did you actually, like, what made you transition into photography?
I went to the Savannah College of Art and Design, and I studied graphic design. And I really wanted to double major in photography, but I also didn't want to stay in school forever. I was really in the mindset of, I can't wait to work. I took photography classes, but I really did design because it felt like the most practical art degree. I think initially, before all of that, I wanted to go to culinary school.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I really wanted to be a pastry chef. I just wanted to decorate cakes all day. and then I went to the Art Institute for like a summer program. And they had told me, oh, you know, if you do the culinary program here, you actually have to do the whole culinary program, including like butchering a cow, or, you know, like all is like a culinary school. And I'm like, oh, no, thanks. I went to school in Savannah, and then I transferred to Atlanta. And the whole time I was still shooting for fun. I would just shoot, I don't know, landscape, food, like all these different things. I also felt as though all the photographers were either doing fine art or fashion at SCAD. So I didn't really know what a photography career could look like. Anyway, so I did the safe route. I finished school, and then I found a full-time graphic design job in Atlanta doing event marketing for a big production company. So I worked at that design job for a really long time. Let's see, 2005 to 2012.
Whoa.
So yeah, a very long time. But it was a great experience for me because I learned a lot. I worked for a lot of big corporate clients, Coca-Cola, Nintendo, Lowe's, Kia. And then we had events. And then I slowly started doing event photography, just as an employee of the company, and we needed photos of the events that we put on. So I ended up somehow wrangling that job. And then, you know, we would use those photos to put in our portfolios. So that's sort of how I use my design degree And then, yeah, what about you? What'd you go to school for?
So I went to film school. It was at Tisch School of the Arts at NYU, their film program. And I wanted to be a film director. I took a lot of short film and TV studio classes, things like that. Worked in post-production a little bit. Worked a lot on set. The really cool thing about the program was junior and senior year was when everyone was making their own films, and you had to basically crew up your people in your class. So it was just like constantly, every weekend essentially was a different shoot, even though it was a student film. It was just super fun. It was like my first taste of being on set and working with a team of people. And then after I graduated college, well, first after I graduated, it was in 2008, right when the economy collapsed. So mm-hmm. everyone stopped hiring. So I literally could only find internships were available.
Non-paying internships or paying
internships? Non-paying internships. Basically decided to target looking for jobs in post-production because it was really the only way to have full-time work because I had loans that I had to pay off. And so found the post house that I ended up working at was looking for an intern. They wanted a full-time intern, but I was just like, I need to at least have 1 or 2 days where I can have a restaurant job or something. So I was working for them 3 days a week for 3 months for free. Hired me on full-time at a very meager salary. But it was good. Like, I went in there and let everyone know that, like, I really wanted to get hired. And so I just went above and beyond and just got hired there. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I worked in post-production for...
No, blah, blah, blah. This is the point of this episode.
Worked in post-production for a couple years and really just did not like the quality of life. It's not a 9-to-5. It was like an 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. on a good day. As a junior assistant editor, I had to be the first one in and the last one out. And most editors are on crazy deadlines, as we all are in our industry. And so the hours were horrible. I made a lot of money in OT. The only day I didn't have OT was on my first day of work. And then every single day after that, I had OT. I had double OT. I had to work on weekends. It was not fun. And I just, after like a year and a half, I was like, I can't do this. I don't even want to work in post-production. Am I doing
this? Is this for the candy store?
No, this was not. This was before photography. This was post-production. Sorry, this was post-production in commercials, like for TV. So... yeah, after that, I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I want to pursue working on set. Like, the route to become a director just seemed so hard. Mm-hmm. And post-production was steady income, but I didn't love it. And I feel like to put in that much time into a day or a week, like, you have to really like what you're doing. So then I kind of just bummed around for a while and did a lot of random jobs in post and game design, casting a little bit. And one of the random jobs was a studio manager for a photographer in San Francisco. I'd moved to the Bay Area for 2 years. I left New York and that one kind of clicked. I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, it's a mix of you're on set, but you're not on set as long. The jobs are shorter. You know, it's like 1 to 5 days instead of a month.
What kind of things did the photographer shoot?
It was a mix of fine art photography. So portraits on tintype, which were really awesome. And then he did a lot of like catalog work. It was in San Francisco. So like Gap and stuff like that. So it was really good insight. And then he would take me on set. And then when we weren't on set, I was helping him with his website, managing his lists to send out promos. You know, just kind of seeing both sides of it was really interesting. And I was like, I could pursue this. So that was in 2012. So that was like 4 years after I graduated. So 2012 was right around when I started to be more interested in what a career in photography would look like.
Which is the exact same year that I left my job.
Oh.
Yeah. 2012. Because I was, yeah, so I was doing my design thing. I think when I went to school, I wanted to design magazines. But magazines, even back then, were starting to die. You know, the place that I ended up working, I wasn't loving it. And then I was trying to find a way out of Georgia. So I moved with that company to California in 2009, but I was already not super happy. I was taking photos on the side. I was doing event photography for the company. And then I was also just taking photos for myself, posting them. I think at some point that Instagram was introduced somewhere in here. I don't remember what year it was. I also had like a little blog that I just put things that I thought were inspiring me, kind of like a Tumblr, really. I treated it like a Tumblr, just shared cool design things or cool photos that I liked or places I went to go eat. Yeah, so I just did a lot of that. And then I guess my one big moment of aha was I went to this restaurant in San Diego. I took photos of my experience there. I posted it on my website, and the owner of the company or the restaurant reached out and was like, oh, I love the photos you took. Could I have a copy? And other companies had reached out before, and I was like, sure. And they just took them, and that was like the end of the day. And then this one guy was like, great, can I get your address? I'd love to send you some gift cards. I'm like, okay, cool. And he sent me, I want to say, $500 or $700 worth of gift cards. It was a lot of money in gift cards. Obviously, you know, to him, probably not worth that much, but no one had ever valued my photos in any other way besides thanking me for giving them photos. So he kind of put like a dollar value on my photos. And I was just like, oh, this is awesome. And then he actually hired me he opened up multiple locations, and then he hired me to go to San Diego and shoot his other locations and the food. So that's sort of like one of my first paying photo jobs.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I just did that on the side while I was doing my design job, or, you know, working at the design agency. I also had like a midlife crisis at some point where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just going to go to Asia and go teach English. And I hope this company is going to be fine with that. Thankfully, they said yes. So I took, I want to say, 2 to 3 months off. I went to Southeast Asia and I just taught English there and traveled and just had a lot of fun. And then I came back and then promptly quit my job. So definitely leaving was like really nice, but also really scary, because just all the things that the way you were making income consistently before versus having to say yes to all the things. But I still pretty much stayed on as a permalance situation where you're essentially full time, but you're not a full time employee getting full time benefits.
But you had the freedom to take other work.
Yeah. And so that's sort of when I started taking on just other photography jobs for fun. I mean, really like shooting for small restaurants, or I mean, a lot of it was a small restaurant stuff or small little businesses, but I was making like $600 a day.
Holy shit.
And, yeah, and like doing everything.
In comparison, in 2012, I was just like barely making ends meet, just saying yes to everything. I looked back recently. I was making that first year that I went air quotes freelance, even though I was shooting part time for a candy store. I ended up getting a studio job shooting for a candy store, which was so bad.
Oh no.
But I made something like $25,000. That was like my income for like 2012 while living in New York City. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like you approached it in a smart way. I feel like the whole permalance thing was the approach that I took when we got that Muntree job.
Uh-huh.
For people that don't know, the way that Jennifer and I met was we got hired in separate cities in New York. I was in New York, Jennifer was in LA, to be the food department, the food photography department for a meal delivery company. And my main goal for taking that job was, one, I was at that point, I remember I had read a quote of like, you can master something after 10,000 hours. And I was like, oh, if I do this for a year, I'll like master it. But I actually did the calculations. A year of working full time is only like 2,000 hours. So in retrospect, I feel like if you put in 5 years of work, that's when you start to feel like you know what you're doing, like you're good at what you do. But in my mind, I was like, oh, I'll do this for a year. I'll learn everything that I can about shooting food.
Wait, and go back. My- go back a little bit. So tell us about that, like before you got the Muntry job and then after. Yeah.
To summarize, that was about a 2 to 3 year period. And I worked at a candy store part time, about 4 days a week, doing all of their in-house e-com product photography, and then doing a lot of odd end jobs in between, like shooting portraits, e-com, weddings, you know, whatever I had to do to make ends meet. But I think this was actually a monumental time for me because I also had 1 foot in the door with post-production. I was still applying for work in that industry, and I got really far in a job interview process that I really wanted with TED Talks for their post-production manager. It was a 3-month process and I ended up not getting the job. I found out in a not great way. And it was a really big decisive moment for me because I realized that at that point, I think I was like 26 and I was straddling both worlds for a couple years and I felt like I wasn't excelling in either direction. And so I felt like I had to choose one to go in because I felt like if I continued to go down pursuing photography and pursuing post, I would just be mediocre at both instead of really working hard at one. And so I think because of the heartbreak of the job, I just went all in with photography and just threw myself headfirst into just getting as much work as I possibly could, saying yes to every little thing possible. I actually recently found an old photo Tumblr that I was really active on. All I was doing was shooting and editing and shooting and editing and having so much fun figuring out what I wanted to do, how, you know, the kinds of things I wanted to shoot. It was also around the time that I got really into food photography and also around the time where I started sharing that work on Instagram. And somehow through Instagram, the creative director at Muntry saw my work and contacted me, asked if I'd be interested in starting the food photography department for Muntry in New York, which they were just about to expand to. And they offered me $70,000, which to me was a lot. You know, I was just like, this is like,
well, it is a lot.
I mean, I was really happy with it. Yeah. Yeah. I was stoked. And so my goal was to, I gave myself like a 1-year goal. I was like, I want to do this job because I think right around when they offered me that job was when I felt like I was really kind of getting the hang of freelancing and I was like starting to build up some clients but I wasn't making $70,000 a year. So when this job came in, I was just like, it would be nice to put in a year. I had a savings goal that I wanted to hit that I felt like would set me up to really excel in a year with freelancing. I basically wanted to build up an emergency fund. And it was hard for many reasons, but I really appreciated the job because I shot food photography 5 days a week for a year. Actually, I made it to 11 months. I just barely made it.
And you also styled. You also built a prop collection.
Yeah, it was prop styling, food styling. I had to be my own DIT. The space I was shooting in didn't have enough room for lighting. So I feel like I felt really comfortable with natural light because I couldn't use artificial light. I really played around with shaping natural light. And I think it really helped me when I finally embraced artificial light. I had an understanding of how light moves through things, why I wanted hard light or soft light, like how to shape it, how to flag it, how to diffuse it, all of that stuff I played with for a year straight. And so after I hit my savings mark at 11 months, and at that point I was pretty miserable at that job because not because of what I was doing, but just because of the structure of the company. And then I convinced them to hire me on as a freelancer 3 days a week. I basically had them hire me at like the same weekly rate as my salary. But the point that I drove home was like, your chefs will have more time to develop recipes because they only need to shoot with me 3 days a week and you don't have to pay for my insurance. And so they were like, okay, like we'll do it. And so that was kind of like an extra safety net that I built for myself I had my emergency fund and I had this 3 day a week gig, and I had 2 to 4 days a week outside of that to take on freelance jobs and start building up that network again. I went into it with a strategy because I knew that I want to learn X amount and I want to save X amount, and then I'm out.
Yeah.
And then we met.
No, oh gosh, I needed Ren so badly at that job. I really struggled. So I had already been freelancing for almost 2 years at that point. And I thought it was a fun opportunity to just be more closer to the food and like working with chefs. And I thought it was really fun to prop style and buy props and make surfaces. I really actually enjoyed that. So I was there probably, I want to say a year and a half. And then actually I got laid off.
Oh.
Yeah, I got laid off, but they literally hired me back the next day to become to freelance. So it was actually kind of silly.
I don't know about you, but I feel like that's where I really figured out the style of how I like to shoot food, building the frame and just like the flow of the frame. I feel like that's where my style really became more prominent to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful for that, even though it was kind of a shit show over there.
No, I mean, I learned a lot and I got to do a lot of things. I mean, I think really that job set me up for success for where I am now, because we played all the roles.
Yeah.
Like we were a food stylist, a prop stylist. I mean, we didn't cook the food, but we still had to plate the food.
Yeah. I feel like it left us with confidence. Like I felt like after that job, I knew more of what I wanted and I knew how to direct the people that I worked with better.
Yeah,
which was great. Yeah. So after that, we went to full on freelance. But I think this is where it gets interesting.
Oh, I feel like all that stuff was interesting.
Well, but, I feel like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess I feel like after Munchery, or at least for me, that was when I feel like I fully embraced freelance. Again, like I had that safety net towards the beginning of 2016. That was when I was like, all right, like I'm full on. I'm never working for anyone again. Like I'm just working for myself. And I remember like one of the things that I had to figure out was what my rate was. And the way that I actually did that was I made a whole like spending. I've been tracking my spending in a Google spreadsheet anyway, because I was trying to be like more financially literate, and I had to pay off loans and things like that. So I had to really manage my my income. And so I ended up making a spreadsheet of all of my monthly expenses. And at that point, I didn't have roommates anymore, but Sam and I were sharing rent in Brooklyn in like a rent stabilized building. So our rent was pretty affordable, and our cost of living, like we were part of a food co-op, so our groceries were pretty affordable, you know, no kids, no car, no pets. So our cost of living was pretty cheap considering we were still living in New York. And so I figured out that my goal was to make $6,000 a month so that I could pay all my bills, have some money left over to like go out and hang out with friends. And I wanted to save $1,000 to $2,000 a month. So for me, 6,000 was the number. And so then I was just like, okay, well, let's play it safe. And if I can only get one shoot a week, 6,000 divided by 4 is 1,500. That's going to be my day rate. That's how I came up with my day rate. I was like, I have to work at least once a week on average. And so some weeks I worked more, some weeks I worked none. It was really good for me to have a really specific target that I had to hit every month that I worked towards. And so that was how I dove into freelancing. And I feel like it was hard in the beginning, but by the end of that year, I was consistently getting that rate.
Like what kind of jobs did you have in the beginning? And then when did it start to feel like it transitioned a little bit in the type of jobs you were getting?
In the beginning, I worked so many random jobs. I worked lots of like shooting at restaurants, shooting small business, like not e-com, but like e-com still life type of stuff, shooting for really small food companies. Like I shot for Good Eggs for a little while. That may have been before Munchery, actually. Oh, I shot weddings in the summer. I took like a few weddings. You know, it's just like basically anything to hit my goal.
Yeah.
Like I was not in the position to be selective for a really long time. And so In 2017, in July, Sam and I moved to LA and we basically had to start over. So that was a lot of rebuilding up a network. I worked on set a little bit as a DIT just to like make ends meet. And so I feel like it was, I'm trying to remember, it was probably like 2018, I remember. I was taking a shower. And I was just like, man, I just like can't imagine ever breaking out of this, like having to say yes to everything, even though I'm not excited about it kind of position, and like still just barely make it work. And I remember, I think there was, it was around the time when Patagonia was looking for a staff photographer, and a few people had sent me that job posting. And I was just like, ugh. Like, I don't want to work in house, but this would be amazing, like to have some stability. And I was taking a shower and I made a pact with myself. I was like, okay, if you are in the same exact place in 1 year, it's time to think about something else. Because at that point I had been freelancing for 3 years and then Muntree before that, and then 2 years of freelancing before. So, you know, it's like, I feel like I had been at it for a while, and I don't know, it was just, I was at the point where I was like, I don't know if I can do it. Like, I'm getting older. I was probably like in my early 30s by then. And I was just like, I want to make like a comfortable living.
Do you remember your first like well paid job? Over 1500?
Yeah, job? It was actually still when I was living in New York. It was like, basically I was doing these like $1,500 rates or less, you know, it was like kind of sliding scale. But every now and then, like a big one would come in, and I did a shoot, a 3-day shoot for Progressive car insurance. And I made, I think my day rate was like 5,000 with licensing. And so to me, that was, it's possible, like possible, it's possible, yeah, to make a good living, but they were just so few and far between. And I feel like after I moved to LA, just because I was shooting and testing a lot, and also working on set, the main reason I wanted to work on set aside from money was I needed to meet people because I didn't know anyone. So like meeting crew and things like that. And I feel like little by little, I started building up a network with food, and I still had photographers in New York that I was friends with that would recommend me for certain things that they were unavailable for in LA. That's how I got my first cookbook, was through a photographer that recommended me, which led to my second cookbook. So like slowly things started building, and I finally started working with teams, you know, like one food stylist, one prop stylist, like no one had assistants kind of thing. And I would say it wasn't until like maybe 2019 was when I noticed that I was finally at a place where the inquiries that were coming in, I was excited about probably 90% of them. Like it wasn't just like these stuff I didn't care about anymore that I was doing just to do. It was more just like each project was either like food focused or lifestyle focused. It had a budget for a team. And so I think that was around the time when I was just like, I think it's working. And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah. Well, what year was it when you got your first agent?
I think it was in 2019.
I think that's right.
I think that was the year that you and I both started doing promos too. Like I just felt like it, like there was a momentum that was like starting to build. I had raised my day rate at that point, so I was like comfortably, you know, getting like the rate that I wanted, but like not as high as with an agent. The experience that I had with my first agent was fine. I feel like I learned a lot. I didn't get a lot of work through her. I think I only got like 2 jobs total in the year and a half that I was with her. But it was definitely educational for me to know how to work with someone, how to partner with someone, to see some of these bigger bids, things like that. What about you?
No, I mean, I think 2019 was the first year that I made a promo. So the year that my dad passed away, and I think up until then I had so much work that was just all word of mouth, but I took some decent time off because my dad was sick, and then I went home and I just spent time at home and I wasn't super busy, and I was just like, well, I'm not busy, so I just stay here and, you know, hang out with my dad. And then after he passed, I think something inside me was just like, okay, I gotta do something. I'm getting the word of mouth, and I'm also getting some inquiries that are bigger productions, bigger clients, bigger names. And also around that time, I had asked some agents to temp rep. I remember I made a portfolio mailer booklet thing, and I had mailed it out that year to a bunch of different agents to just get my work in front of them, because I wasn't actually really sure who I was supposed to get my work in front of. But I'm like, I'm just going to send it to agents because that's what I know. Yeah. So that's when I started just sending stuff out, which actually is like, doesn't feel that long ago, but also it was a while ago. And then, yeah, I just think the promo, I don't know if I actually got any specific work from the promo per se, but I definitely made connections with a lot of agents. And, you know, through the inquiries that I got, I was able to, the agents that I met, you know, have them help me negotiate bids. I'm trying to think of like what my first biggest job. I mean, I know there's one job that comes to mind that was like one of the best paying jobs that I ever got. And actually still to this day is probably one of the best that I ever got. It was $10,000, but it was shooting like protein bars on seamless paper.
Sick.
Yeah.
And did you get that by yourself or did you get that through one of the agents that you were temping with?
I got that by myself. It's one of those things where it came through directly to me. They already had a set budget and they did not budge from that budget. But I mean, it was a good budget. And I actually had an agent temp rep me on that job. That was a good job. I mean, that was an easy job. Creatively, it wasn't that exciting, but I mean, it definitely drove home the commercial is where the money is at.
I know. I feel like for a really long time, I was like, I don't want to sell out and do commercial work. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's how you make money.
Yeah.
Like that's how you make a living. And then you'd take on the passion projects on the side because you have the financial freedom.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I still think, you know, to this day, I get a lot of mixed bag inquiries where, you know, they only have $500, but I'm definitely at a point where I'm saying no to those and passing those on to other photographers. Yeah, I think just slowly from there. And then I signed with my agent in 2021. Yeah. But I had a baby in that mix too. Right.
And the pandemic.
I actually feel like, you know, I put together that promo and I did all this really hard work. And then right when I felt like the fruits of that labor were coming together is when pandemic hit.
Right. And you were pregnant. So it's like,
and I was pregnant.
A double whammy. Yeah, because I feel like the pandemic for me ended up being ironically when I felt like my career really took off. And it could have been like the momentum that was already building before the pandemic. I also switched agents in the middle of the first year of the pandemic. And I don't know, it was just like something about the timing where more and more big jobs started coming in and more frequently. And I really felt like, I don't know if it was because of the pandemic, because there was a period where like it got crazy with work because no one shot for like half a year and then everyone had these like marketing budgets to spend. So I think like everyone was really busy. I don't know.
I feel like for food, pandemic was a little bit of a not blessing, but like I think people within the food industry or who shot within food, everyone still needed that. So at least for me, like I actually think pandemic year was financially a very good year for me, all things considered. But I also, you know, that was the last time, you know, all my old skill sets came to life because I was definitely shooting at home by myself and food styling and prop styling because my client needed it and I wanted the money. So, you know, I kind of came up with a compromise to like figure out how to do some of that stuff at home. I mean, it was only like a couple months of that, but it was still really helpful to have that when everybody wasn't doing anything.
Right, right.
So
I honestly can't believe it's been 3 years.
I know, me either. Yeah,
it was crazy. a wild ride. Yes.
And we should have started this during the pandemic. We have had so much more time to record.
Well, I don't know. After like I remember I think 2021 was like pure insanity.
That's true. And I had a baby. I was not going to be recording with you.
Yeah, it ends up being like really good, busy, insanely busy year. But the summary of this episode is I feel like it was a really long and windy road to get to where we are.
I mean, I think this is a point. Part of the point of this was just to, you know, to hone in kind of that you and I both didn't go to photo school. I mean, you actually went to at least something that was adjacent to.
I know. It like it feels adjacent to, but it was just so completely different. Now it feels like it's come full circle and I can utilize my film degree because of all of the motion stuff that we're doing. But when I switched into photography, the only thing that was the same was looking through a viewfinder. I felt like what started to feel like a career and not just something that I was stringing together was when I implemented more of like a business into it, right? It's just like investing money in marketing, investing money in testing, eventually, you know, transitioning into an S corp, just like payroll, all of that stuff. Like, I feel like once you start really treating your photography like a business and thinking about it from that mindset part of the time, I feel like that's what I felt like it really turned into a business and a career.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and ironically, I feel like it took about 7 years for me to feel like I was happy with what was, you know, what I have been getting. And it kind of just goes in line with that 10,000 hours quote.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely a bit, I mean, it's just like different kind of work when you first start. And then at some point, there was just this click of like, I definitely feel like I'm in a transitional period, but it definitely feels different than, I mean, what it was before.
When you first started.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the transition now is, right, like we're just striving to get bigger and better jobs. There's a lot more work going into treatmenting and bidding and putting yourself out there. I'm also at a place where I really, I really want to start pursuing directing more. I've been thinking a lot about this, but now that I know how long it took me to get to where I am with photography, pursuing something like that just feels honestly so daunting that sometimes I just like don't even know where to begin, even though I know I've started by doing all these motion jobs. Like I've started it, like I've gotten the ball rolling, but I feel very lost with like how to, if I wanted to really, really pursue it in like a broadcast space, like I don't even know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, any final thoughts?
No, I think this was fun. I mean, I think it's interesting to hear how people start and like where they came from and how they got where they are.
I know. Sometimes I really envy people that have like a very clear path, but I don't think we would be who we are if we took a clear path.
I don't think very many people do have like the straightforward path though.
Yeah, that's true. Any regrets or changes? Now that you know certain things, would you have done anything differently?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like I was late to the game in terms of art producers, art buyers, like working with prop stylists, food stylists. Like I think I just had operated under the assumption that everyone just did all this stuff by themselves for a long time because that's how I was doing it. I tried to work on set. I really wanted to work on set with other photographers. I just never had that opportunity. I reached out to so many people and I don't know, I just nothing, very few opportunities came through on that front. And maybe in a way, especially after listening to like Jeff talk about it, you know, I can see how if you're a really successful assistant, you just get stuck in that position. And I guess I never had that opportunity to get stuck in that position because you just had to go and make it happen. So I think that's the only thing that I wish that I had an opportunity to do more of or just learn more about on like big onset experiences. Yeah, I mean, it would have been great if I probably started my promo earlier because I mean, I think I understood and knew promos at least for a year or two before that because I was helping another photographer design their promo. So I knew exactly what to be doing because I was doing it for somebody else. It's also much harder to design your own things. So I should have started that earlier.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing was once you learn to invest in yourself and in your business, that's when I think that's the main way to see growth.
Right. I mean, I think also like half of that investment, I already had the skill set, you know?
Right.
So I think for a lot of photographers, you know, there's like this burden of like, how do I design and not knowing how to do that. But I already had a design background, so I could do that. But I just had to do it and then, yeah, pay for the printing and things like that. But the hard part, I feel like, for me was just to even get something on paper.
Right.
Which, you know, shouldn't have been. I mean.
No, I mean, it makes sense. Really hard to edit your own work, I think.
Yeah. And that's cool. The end, guys.
All right. Thanks for tuning in.
If you have any comments, questions, or ideas on future episodes, email us at photodump.club@gmail.com.
Photodump was created by Ren Fuller and Jennifer Chong. Thank you to Sam Fuller for our cover art and overall tech support. Our music was created by Daniel Smith.
You can find me on Instagram at jchongstudio.
And me at Ren_Fuller.
Thanks for listening.